Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Shelley Clark is in the house. Shelley's been a frequent and favorite guest at HealthLink On Air. Welcome back, Shelley.
Oh, thank you, Trish.
You'll remember Shelley used to be the Stroke Center Coordinator at Upstate. Now she has a new role as Director of Clinical Services at ReachCall, which she'll explain to us in just a moment. We have a second guest sharing the microphone with us this morning, Sharon Kleiber. Sharon's the Associate Director of Nursing at University Hospital and the new coordinator of the Stroke Center. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi, thank you.
You inherited Shelley's role.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. And now the two of you are working closely together. Neither of your titles really gives us a sense of the conversation this morning. This is really a conversation about technology and geography as much as it is about stroke, wouldn't you say, Sharon?
Yes, and we're trying to outreach to our rural areas and really trying to help the patient population throughout our Central New York area.
The Central New York, but we're talking north, south, east, and west. Talk to us about the geography a little bit.
Right now, we're working with hospitals south of us in Montour Falls, New York, a small hospital, Schuyler Hospital in Montour Falls. We also are working with Cortland down south of us. And we also are working with E.J. Noble in Gouverneur, New York, up north.
Okay.
And we're soon to be going and working with Oneida Healthcare Center.
All right. And I imagine you'll be looking west as well at some point, because this is really a system that allows University Hospital to be working with all these smaller hospitals. Shelley, explain this to us, because now this is your role, is establishing these relationships.
That's correct. What we recognize in stroke care is that we need the neurology expertise to determine what's appropriate treatment and what types of acute care therapy they can offer. However, there are fewer and fewer neurologists every day. So in order to extend this neurology expertise out to rural facilities, we use video conferencing, audiovisual equipment that allows the neurologist to see the patient, evaluate the patient, receive CT scans, lab values, do everything they would do if they came into the bedside, but do it remotely.
So this is not about neurologists getting into cars and traveling to see patients, is it? And it's not about patients getting in cars or ambulances and traveling to Syracuse.
That's correct. Time is brain in stroke. Mm-hmm. We've always said that. And what this does is it reduces the amount of time it takes for the neurologist to see the patient and make appropriate recommendations for treatment.
Aha. So you've established this relationship with these various hospitals, and you're growing. You're looking for more hospitals, too. So say I'm a patient. You mentioned E.J. Noble and Gouverneur. All right. Say I'm a patient in Gouverneur, and or say I'm the daughter of someone who I think is having a stroke. Explain to me what happens, Sharon, from that point of view.
Well, we always look at the fast symptoms.
Okay.
So when we look at face, arms, speech, and time, if we recognize that a patient is having symptoms of stroke, the first thing we say is call an ambulance.
Right.
And what we've done with the ambulance services up for, let's say, Gouverneur, is that we've helped them understand that E.J. Noble does have these services now, that we can get a patient to E.J. Noble and they will have a neurologist be able to consult them.
They will. So now the services in all of these areas have been trained. They know now that if they get a call that it looks like somebody might be having a stroke, that they immediately take them to that particular hospital.
We try.
Okay.
Because EMS, one of the things, they need to get to a stroke center.
Okay.
And one of the hard things right now is up, especially in the northern region of New York State, there aren't any stroke centers.
Okay.
So that's where E.J. Noble comes in, because they don't have a stroke center. And what E.J. Noble does is have the capability to take care of stroke patients quickly now.
They do.
That we have our neurologists helping to consult.
Okay, so, but I still want to understand exactly how this happens. Now, say I'm the stroke patient and I've just been transported and I arrive in a hospital that's one of your spoke hospitals, okay? Shelley, what happens to me now? I get taken into the emergency room. Tell me what my perspective is.
Patient comes into the emergency room and they're going to be treated very similar as if they came to the Upstate ER, which is the designated stroke center.
Okay.
They're going to have initial laboratory tests, CT scans, and all of that's going to be done in a very quick response time. Then they come back from the CT scan, and they have a what we call a cart. It's essentially a computer on wheels with a camera placed in their ED, and utilizing
their ED
this
being
service,
their emergency department, right?
And utilizing this service, they're able to place the camera on the patient. The neurologist is able to log in anywhere because it's a 100% web-based system.
Wow.
So the neurologist is able to open up, and again, the CT scans are embedded right within the consult, the ability to have a conversation, access lab values, access vital signs, and actually lay eyes on the patient via a camera and do an evaluation. And that's the key part, because a lot of stroke diagnosis is based on clinical presentation, and that's where the neurology expertise and their eyes on the patient is really valuable.
So who's the person at the Spoke Hospital who's doing all of this? Because there's got to be somebody placing the camera in the right place, putting the equipment in the right place, dialing up to get into upstate to talk to the right people. How does all of that happen, Sharon?
We do a lot of training, mm-hmm. and Shelley and I work closely with each of those hospitals. But mm-hmm. the nursing staff, as well as the physicians that are taking care of the patient in those Spoke hospitals, are the ones that actually sign the patient on.
Okay.
It's very important that we are able to see them and they're able to see us. It's a two-way communication.
Okay.
And one of the very important pieces is our doctor's able to read the CT scan and be able to determine what type, if it is a stroke, and what by looking at the patient doing the exam. It's a virtual exam because they're doing it for us mm-hmm. with our doctor right there kind of leading them.
So somebody there is taking the pictures, okay, but somebody in Syracuse at Upstate is actually reading them and determining what happens next?
Well, there's two parts to it. There is actually the CT scan, mm-hmm. so you're correct. They have the scan done there, and the scan comes through. But then there's also video streaming, so they're actually seeing the patient in real time. And what happens is the staff at the emergency department at the Spoke Hospital, which is the rural facility, mm-hmm. actually becomes the hands of the neurologist. So as the neurologist would normally do an evaluation, they're putting the patient through the motions of the evaluation. However, the neurologist is visually watching. Mm-hmm. And that's where the important part of the neurology expertise really comes in.
Excellent. All right. So now I'm that patient. The CAT scans have been done. You've got me set up with cameras. You've got all of that going on. The neurologist has made an assessment that, in fact, I have had some sort of stroke. What happens next, Sharon?
They make a determination whether or not that patient is eligible for the clot buster drug.
Uh-huh.
So they determine whether or not they have to look at the CT scan to see whether or not the patient, what type of stroke it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's two major different types of stroke. One, where a patient may have bleeding into their brain.
Mm-hmm.
If it's that type of drug of
stroke,
then we can't give the clot buster. But if it's an ischemic stroke where there's a clot that blocks circulation to the brain, we can give the clot busting drug.
Okay.
And then the doctor has to go through a lot of the patient history to determine if that patient is eligible for the
clot
buster.
So if they determine that the patient at the Spoke Hospital is eligible to have it, can they administer it right there?
Yes.
They do. Okay.
Yes,
so
they will.
No time is lost there.
No.
All right. What happens next? I mean, does the patient get admitted to the hospital? Do they get transported to Syracuse? What happens to them next?
A lot of times, depending on the stability of the patient and how the patient's doing, a lot of times we will take them and transfer them to University Hospital for ongoing care.
You will. Or they could stay right there.
Okay. Depending on how the patient's doing.
Tell me about success stories. Do you have any success stories to tell yet? Talk about the experience of the patients and exactly, I mean, obviously you can't use names and I wouldn't ask you to, but talk to me about some of them.
It's a wonderful thing when we give TPA or the clot buster because the symptoms, I've seen patients that had very bad symptoms that they go away or close to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful thing when you see.
And you can watch that on the video and see that in the new hospital. And is that something they couldn't have had before, Shelley?
Well, what we know is that about 60% of hospitals in the United States have yet to use this drug.
Ah.
And part of the reason is because we need the neurologist to make the decision. ED physicians are wonderful, but this is not what they do in their daily
practice. They're not necessarily neurologists.
That's correct.
Right,
and
right.
So what this does is it gives them the confidence that they're making the right decision.
I see.
And so what we're trying to do is increase the availability of this acute care therapy to more people, particularly those in rural areas who do not have the access to these types of specialists.
So really, this is about setting up a system that determines who actually has a better chance of receiving this drug in an outlying area.
Correct. And the aftermath of managing an acute care stroke, because there is so much more than just this acute care drug. Secondary prevention to make sure you don't have a second stroke. If you have a bleed, there's acute care therapies to manage that so that we can reduce the size of brain damage. So there's so much more. But TPA is probably the impetus that initiated this whole process.
TPA being the clot-busting drug.
Correct.
All right. So let me then, if I understand correctly, is it correct that if they are able to get that drug in these remote areas, they have less of a chance of having to come to Syracuse, or doesn't it matter?
If they get the drug, a lot of times they choose to transfer the patient to us ongoing care and assessment.
All right. And that's the ongoing care you were just talking about, Shelley. Well, you know, this is just so hopeful for people in rural areas. What I'm hoping is, you know, our reach on the radio show doesn't go that far in terms of geography. But, you know, we have friends, we have relatives, we travel to those places for work. And what I hope is that people listening this morning will spread the word, talk about the availability. I think it's a wonderful thing and a life-saving thing. And I thank the two of you for your involvement in all of this and for coming by this morning.
Thank you.
Sharon Kleiber and Shelley Clark, we hope you'll come back and tell us about more success stories and more hospitals. Listeners, we're going to take a break, but please do stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.